Whew. Friday, 5 p.m., time for American Hit Radio, 90.3 WHPC. It's golden time of the week when it's Friday at 5 p.m., double happy hour. Congratulations, you made it through another week, and I'm glad to have you aboard with us for the next hour. I hope you can stay for the hour. Your host, Tom Ryan, with me, my lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales-Ryan.
Perhaps.
As well.
Uh-huh.
Now, babe, you know what we've been doing for quite a while now. We've been working our way through a whole bunch of, how music changed on Fridays. We've got this whole series of topics where we're trying to do this ridiculously complex and very ambitious plan of trying to cover 250 topics that cover most of the history of popular music from its very beginning and the very first recording that was ever made right on up to the present. Now, I've already done the math on this, and I figure I'm going to have to live to be about 238 years old to get them all in. I'm doing okay so far, though, so we'll see. Maybe it'll happen. Now, yeah, the topic that we've been on for the past, this is show number 23, dedicated to the Great American Songbook. So we've spent almost a half a year just on this one topic, the Great American Songbook, which we started with songs that were written all the way back in 1919. So now at part 23, we're doing this chronologically. Here we are in 1944. And these are the war years. And the Great American Songbook changes a lot at this point in time. I mean, this episode continues our coverage of the Great American Songbook during the war years, but only this time, the emphasis of the songs that we're going to be playing is going to be on updated versions of those songs recorded by artists, in some cases, long after the war was over. Last week, we played a lot of the songs from the versions that were famous during the war. Things like the Glenn Miller is a good example because his versions were so classic, we didn't really want to not pay homage to them. But now we're probably going to play with it a little bit more. Now, Heidi, you might recall last week, the songwriting team of Matt Gordon and Harry Warren came up so often. I mean, they set a record in 23 shows. I don't think we ever played more than three songs by the same songwriting team. Last week, Matt Gordon and Harry Warren got four. And just behind them was the team of Johnny Mercer and Harold Arlen, who had three songs last week. So that really means that the two songwriting teams consisted of about 70% of the entire show, which is kind of outrageous. If we had time to play one more, it would have been a tie, because the first song up today is a song that was written by Harold Arlen and Johnny Mercer. A song that was used in a film called Here Come the Waves. I have no idea what that is. I can't tell you much about it.
Mystery.
But it was a song that was basically written to be sung in the style of a sermon where Father Divine basically and had a subject which was, you've got to accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative. And when that thought popped into Johnny Mercer's head, he's like, oh man, I think I got an idea for a song here based upon that. So he took the phrase, he broke it down into its strictest consonants, the accentuate, the positive, and ended up with a very popular song. The version that we've got here is actually a recording by the band NRBQ, which was, I believe, happened in it might be on their first album, 1969 or maybe 1970. So then here is NRBQ performing Johnny Mercer and Harold Arlen's Accentuate the Positive.
Come on, let's go. You have to accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative. And the affirmative, don't mess with Mr. In Between. You have to spread joy up to the maximum and bring gloom down to the minimum and have faith, cause pandemonium's liable to walk upon the scene to
You know it's early NRBQ because it's not Terry Adams doing the vocals. In the early years, there were other band members that would sing. It was only until maybe the mid-70s when pretty much a lot of the lead vocals were being done by Terry. But there's early NRBQ for you doing a version of Accentuate the Positive. Next up, a pair of new songwriters to our series. We haven't heard covered them yet. Their names are Hugh Martin and Ralph Blaine. They wrote this song for the film Meet Me in St. Louis, a very popular movie in 1944. It starred Judy Garland, and she was the person who introduced this song in the first place. But the first time I heard the song was on a Frank Sinatra album. Now, 10 years from this point, from 1944 is when this was written. In 1954, things for Frank Sinatra were not really quite what he had expected. His career had taken a nosedive in the early 50s, and he desperately needed to get signed with a new label. His time with Columbia was obviously spent, and he was able to cut a very rough deal with Capitol Records. They said that they would basically let him do it, but he would have to be responsible for all of his own expenses. And there were the terms were really harsh. And it was pretty much they didn't expect anything to come of Sinatra's appearance on Capitol. What ended up happening was probably one of the most successful runs of any of the classic vocal singers ever. This is when, Sinatra became Old Blue Eyes and became a superstar. And the album that started that for Capitol was a record that was called Songs for Young Lovers. Now, when it came out in 1954, the long-playing album was still a fairly new thing. So it was originally released as a 10-inch record. And then, of course, 10-inch records became incredibly unpopular by the mid-50s, the late-50s. They went out of style very quickly, so they re-released it, and now it's available as a 12-inch record by adding a few more songs. So there is Sinatra's first album for Capitol Records entitled Songs for Young Lovers, and that is where I first heard this song called The Girl or The Boy Next Door.
The moment I saw her smile, I knew she was just my style. My only regret is we've never met, for I dream of her all the while. But she doesn't know I exist. No matter how much I persist, so it's clear to see there's no hope for me. Though I live at 5135 Kensington Avenue, and she lives at 5133. How can I ignore the girl next door? I love her more than I can say. Doesn't try to please me, doesn't even tease me, and she never sees me glance her way. And though I'm heart sore, the girl next door, affection for me won't display. I just adore her, so I can't ignore her. the girl next door.
This is probably as good a time as any to recap exactly what it is that we're trying to do here with this series of shows called The Great American Songbook. We've already done a series of songs, shows regarding music from the, say, the late teens to the 40s and the 50s of popular music. Pop, basically, that's what we were calling the, what do we call it,
Radio Days?
Radio Days, thank you. That was the Radio Days series. This is different because Radio Days focused on the songs. This is focusing on the songwriters who wrote songs that became part of a tradition that where the songs lasted and lived well beyond what their normal lifespan would have otherwise been. You know, hits are hits, they come and they go. The Great American Songbook, though, is covering songs that basically come and then they never go. And it's a small group of writers. There aren't very all that many really that we've covered. I didn't count yet, but I'm thinking that if I were to add up all of the individual people who we've covered so far in 23 shows, I'd probably have less than 70 people who are actually songwriters. And keep in mind when I say 70 that almost every one of those songs that we've played in the past 22 plus today's show, 23 weeks, are songs that were written by teams. There are very, very few exceptions of those who are different, who would write by their own. I think we've only found basically so far, I'm aware of two, and we still have yet to hit a second, another woman. We've only had one woman so far in the entire series of songs. Now, this next one is actually a soloist. It's written by one person. So now Johnny Mercer joins the, you know, the solo songwriter club for the Great American Songbook. We've heard him often up until this point, but we've never heard him where he wrote both the words and the music. Well, he did that for this 1944 song that when it was recorded for a song called Dream. And when he wrote it, Mercer had his own radio show. So this song he had written to become the theme of his radio show. But like I said, what the Great American Songbook does is it ends up taking on another life. It became a major hit in 1945 when the Pied Pipers did a cover version of it. And we just heard Frank Sinatra on Capitol, but back in 1946, about, I believe, he did a recording of Dream with the Alex Stordahl Orchestra that was a gigantic hit for him on Columbia Records when he was still a very popular artist on Columbia Records. He recorded it again for Capitol on an album called Nice and Easy. Even Ringo Starr did a version of it. After the Beatles broke up, he put out a solo album called Sentimental Journey, and he did a version of it. Well, the version that I've got is by one of the other Rat Pack members with Frank Sinatra, Mr. Dean Martin, performing Dream.
Dream when you're feeling blue. Dream, that's the thing to do. Watch the smoke rings rise in the air. You'll find your share of memories there. So dream when the day is through. Dream, and they might come true. Think, never as bad as they seem. So dream, dream,
version of that song by Dean Martin. Dream, of course.
It was dreamy.
Now, this is interesting because if only I had a cue, you know, basically if it was arranged chronologically, I'd be able to cover each of the three individuals who wrote songs as solo artists, because coming up right now is a song that was written by Cole Porter. And up until we just played Bobby Mercer's Dream, the only songwriters who wrote alone in this entire history of the Great American Songbook so far was Cole Porter and Irving Berlin. And this next song is a Cole Porter song, a song that the thing about Cole Porter's writing is it's so complex and wonderful and beautiful. He loves to play with words, and he always seems to have his tongue in his cheek. He was definitely a little bit, right? You can definitely, especially in the earlier days, as he's gotten older, he becomes a little bit more like straightforward. But this song is called Every Time We Say Goodbye, and it's a beautiful but sad love song. Because it's about as much as you celebrate being with somebody, you also are pained equally, when you're apart from them. And he conveys this in the way that he writes the chord structure and even in the words when he sings the lines, quote, change from major to minor. It's a song that is moving along in an A-flat major, but then when it gets to that line, he switches to an A-flat minor so that the music matches the mood of the words. Really clever, really, really clever on the part of Cole Porter. And I have a pretty awesome version. Like I said, I'm going for contemporary versions as often as I can for today's show. Here is a version of Every Time We Say Goodbye as performed by Annie Lennox.
Time we say goodbye, I wonder why a little.
Great Cole Porter wrote that one. Annie Lennox is performing it. That was on a compilation set, actually, that came out sometime. I think it was in the 90s, or maybe it was the early 2000s. I'm not sure, but it was a collection called Red Hot and Blue, a tribute to Cole Porter. It was a way of raising money for AIDS. So it was coinciding with that era. Now, last week, I had a conundrum that I resolved by saying, I'm not going to do it. Christmas songs make up a good part of the Great American Songbook because there are songs that have been written from 1919 until the end of the Great American Songbook period, which I would say is about the mid-50s, where the Christmas songs never die. They keep coming back. Or, I mean, my gosh. Last week, I had both I'll Be Home for Christmas and White Christmas scheduled to be played, but it seems absolutely ludicrous to be playing Christmas music when we're in blazing hot weather of July. It's absurd. So I'm going to talk about the Christmas songs, but I'm going to skip playing them. But they do need to be mentioned in the context of their time. And right here is where we would have a Christmas song today, for today's show. The song is called Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. And I'll bet that this is not common knowledge. Heidi, I did not know this, but the song was written for a Judy Garland film called Meet Me in St. Louis. Oh. The same guys, Hugh Martin and Ralph Blaine, who wrote The Boy Next Door, which we just played about two songs ago, Frank Sinatra's.
Uh-huh.
Tune that was written for the exact same film. So the same songwriters, Martin and Blaine, are credited here for Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Now, the song was first written as it was a bit of a downer. It was a song that was basically about a father leaving his home and his family to take up work in New York City for a job promotion that he had to take just before the 1904 World's Fair was supposed to begin. And the family is being left behind and everybody's sad. And the lyrics eventually had to be changed for people to want to use it as a classic Christmas song. Like for the show themselves, Judy Garland and the director, Vincent Minnelli, basically said, listen, you know, the original lyrics were... the lines were, it may be your last. Next year, we may all be living in the past. And they're like, oh, man, can we, like, get it a little bit less depressing than that?
Ouch.
How, you know? So he basically changed that line to, "Let your heart be light. Next year, all our troubles will be out of sight." Actually, infinitely better.
Huge improvement.
Right. And yet it was recorded that way. But there was another line in the song that went, "Until then, we'll have to muddle through somehow." And Sinatra, of all people, was about to put this song on his Christmas album. And the name of Sinatra's Christmas album was A Jolly Christmas.
So yeah, maybe not so much on that song.
Right. So he calls up Martin and he says, "Do you think you could jolly up that line for me a little bit?" So he basically went back and he changed "Until then, we'll have to muddle through somehow," changed it to "Hang a shining star upon the highest bough." Yay, winner. So that's, you know, an interesting side story about that Christmas song. I would have played Bob Dylan's version, but I'm just not going to play Christmas music in July. Even though I've done some crazy things, I don't think I want to go there.
I think
there.
You've done it in the past.
I think I did, too. If I did, I've certainly done it enough. So
you're turning over a new leaf. Look at you.
Next up, then, is a song composed by Jewel Stein with lyrics by Sammy Kahn. This was written for a movie called Anchors Away. The film did win an Academy Award for its music. And this song was actually nominated for Best Original Song, although it did lose to Roger and Hammerstein's It Might As Well Be Spring. Sammy Kahn remembered writing the songs with Jewel Stein, basically sitting at the piano. And he goes, "The song was written one night in Palm Springs. When I sang the last line, Jewel Stein looked over at me and said, 'So, that's it.'" "I knew that he felt that we could have written on, but I felt that I had said all that there was to say, and if I had to do it over, I would stop right there again." The song was a very big hit for Frank Sinatra, recording again with Columbia Records and Alex Stordahl, who did most of his arrangements back at that point in time. This is when, you know, the Bobby Soxer years, or the Frankie stuff was going on, 44, 45, when he was at the peak of his fame. And like I said, a lot changed in the 10 years that brought him to the start of the Capitol years. But the version that I'm going to play is by the trumpeter and vocalist Chet Baker, his version of "I Fall in Love Too Easily."
"I fall in love too easily. I fall in love too fast. I fall in love too terribly hard for love to ever last. My heart should be well schooled, 'cause I've been fooled in the past. But still I fall in love so easily. I fall in love too fast." Thank you. school, 'cause I've been fooled in the past, but still I fall in love too easily. I fall in love too fast.
Chet Baker performing that beautiful version of the Jules Stein and Sammy Kahn song, I Fall in Love Too Easily. The exact same songwriters now wrote this next song. Jules Stein and Sammy Kahn wrote, I Guess I'll Hang My Tears Out to Dry, for a show called Glad to See You, which was off-Broadway up in Boston, and it closed. It never made it to Broadway, so the show was a total failure. Which would is sort of amazing that the song wasn't then as well. The song went on to have, I mean, dozens upon dozens of recordings by Frank Sinatra, Sarah Vaughan, Ray Charles, Mel Torme, Linda Ronstadt, Diana Krall. The version that I've got is, because I love to basically emphasize the fact that the Great American Songbook ultimately became a jazz idiom, or basically food for jazz musicians. Here's a version by Dexter Gordon from his album Go. I Guess I'll Hang My Tears Out to Dry. Thank you. have two songs in a row from the songwriting team of Jules Stein and Sammy Kahn. Up first was I Fall in Love Too Easily, followed by that lovely version of I Guess I'll Hang My Tears Out to Dry by Dexter Gordon. The album is called Go, that comes from, and I highly recommend it if you're interested in some sophisticated and sensual jazz. It's just a beautiful album. It's a bit playful too. It's a fun album to listen to. It's called Go with an exclamation point by Dexter Gordon. All right, next up, this is unusual because the song is written by Duke Ellington and one of his band members, Johnny Hodges, but it's also credited to Harry James, the band leader, and eventually lyrics written by Don George when it was published in 1944. Both Duke Ellington and the Harry James Orchestra released versions of I'm Beginning to See the Light, but I found a version by one of my favorite Texas musicians that should be a little bit of fun to hear. It's by Clarence Gatemouth Brown, his version of I'm Beginning to See the Light. I'm beginning to see the light. That's Clarence Gatemouth Brown. Just always a surprise. Great to hear him. All right, next up. Actually, this is I'm going to play a song that is, quote unquote, contemporary to when it was written. This is the first time I think I'm doing it in this show. The song is called It Could Happen to You. It was written by Jimmy Van Heusen with lyrics by Johnny Burke. It was for a comedy, a movie called And the Angels Sing. It was released as a single by Joe Stafford and became a minor hit for her. It was subsequently recorded. I can't even tell you. It's insane. I'm counting the number of people who have recorded this song. I stopped at just short of 60. So that's exactly why it's part of the Great American Songbook. When everybody from Tony Bennett to the Four Freshmen and Dave Brubeck and Bud Powell, Miles Davis, I could go on and on, have all recorded versions of It Could Happen to You. The version I've got, though, is going to be that original single by Joe Stafford.
Bye. stars, or you might stumble. Someone drops a sigh, and down you tumble. Keep an eye on spring, run when church bells ring.
Joe Stafford performing It Could Happen to You, written by Johnny Burke, the man responsible for Swing on a Star, and music by Jimmy Van Heusen, the man who named himself after the shirt manufacturer. And that's a true story, actually did. I forget what his real name originally was. I'm mentioning this because they wrote this next song as well. There's a lot of coincidences today in the fact that we've got like songwriters back to back. But this is another Jimmy Van Heusen and Johnny Burke song. It was written for a film called Belle of the Yukon, where Dinah Shore sang it. But I guess because everything else is happening with a certain sense of redundancy, it would only make sense if I ask Chet Baker to sing once again for his version of Like Someone in Love.
Lately I find myself out gazing at stars, hearing guitars, like someone in love. Sometimes the things I do astound me. Mostly whenever you're around me. Lately I seem to walk as though I had wings, bump into things like someone in love. Each time I look at you, I'm limp as a glove and feeling like someone. Lately, I seem to walk as though I had wings, bump into things like someone in love. Each time I look at you, I'm limp as a glove and feeling like someone in love. Feeling like someone.
Chet Baker. I think it's the first time we had Chet on the show for two different songs for the same show. We got time for one more. Try to squeeze one more in. And this is interesting because it's a popular song. The music is by Jerome Kern, but the lyrics are by Ira Gershwin. Now, of course, he lost his brother to illness a few years earlier. So Ira kept writing and did some great work after the death of George. And this song that he wrote with Jerome Kern was featured in a film called Cover Girl, which was a Rita Hayworth and Gene Kelly movie. And let's see. The song was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Original Song, but it also lost to Swinging on a Star, which is the song written by Johnny Burke. Yes, the Johnny Burke, who wrote the last two songs that we just played with Jimmy Van Heusen. Like Someone in Love and It Could Happen to You were also songs by Johnny Burke. So let's pick up where we left off then. I've got a version that I want to play that is by Charlie Watts. Since we lost Charlie Watts this year, I don't think many people are familiar with the fact that he did a lot of orchestral work or big band work for a lot of classic songs. And so we'll leave you with the Charlie Watts credited version of Long Ago and Far Away. Take care, everybody. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
I longed for long ago was you. Long ago.